All right, let's take our Bibles. I don't really have a text, so just go to John chapter 12. John chapter 12. Before we start, though, I need all the senior ladies. All the ladies, let me say this. This is your last year in college. All the senior ladies, just in your last year in college, just raise your hand. Just hold it up. Don't be ashamed. Hold it up. Hold it up. Okay. Now hold it up and don't put it down yet. You can put it down if you're, you know, hate to embarrass you, but I'm going to. So if you are, you know, really interested in a real relationship with somebody, you can put it down. All right. All right, guys, look around. There's still a few. You got 7 months. Okay, you can put your hands down. You got 7 months to help these young ladies out. Amen. We got some good girls in the college. Isn't that true? Amen. Yeah, so, you know, be a blessing. Right, Rebecca? Yeah. So, look, she can sing. Right? I mean, you want me to start advertising for the others here, too? Julia, you can play a cello. Right? She plays the organ. All right, I'm just trying to help you guys out, all right? I don't understand this. Okay, 7 months, guys. Okay, let's get... All right. Now we can get into what we're going to talk about. I want to talk about the cry of the lost, or the cry of the heathen. We are living in a day where it's pretty easy to get focused on our own life, focused on doing our own thing, and we forget about everybody around us. We come to class, maybe you go out, do a little shopping here or there, ministries, see a few people on the weekend. And that's it. You're back into the same old routine. And we don't want to forget that there is an entire world out there that is lost and is going to face the Lord one day and is going to spend eternity somewhere. I have a burden for America. We need more churches in America. There's a lot of places in America that don't have good churches. But there's also a lot of places in the world. I've mentioned this in our in my college class last semester. If you just turn around and look at that map back there, see the little map back there? There's black dots, at least I don't think it's very up to date, but when it was done, there were black dots representing graduates, okay? Look at it again, and notice where the black dots are. Pretty easy and comfortable. Pretty easy to be where those black dots are. In John 3:16, for God so loved what? The who? Only the United States. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So what if they don't hear about him? Are they going to believe? Are they going to have everlasting life? So turn around, look at that map one more time. Look at all the black dots. Look in South America. Look in Africa. All right. Let's pray. Father, I do thank you for the time you've given to us. I pray that you'll use your word to challenge us and help us, Lord, to just be open to what your will would be for our lives and to be willing to set aside our own will and not be so concerned about our own life, but concerned about what you'd want to do through us. Help us to make good decisions, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I've talked about this in my college class, and it's not exactly the same. The four ideas are, but I've added some things, a lot of things to it, and actually made it a message. In John chapter 12, I want to begin looking at the four cries of the lost. The first one is this: we would see Jesus. In John chapter 12, verse number 20, and there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, "Sir, we would see Jesus." Philip cometh and telleth Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. There were some people, they didn't want to just see the disciples. Who did they want to see? They wanted to see Jesus. In fact, they needed to see Jesus. You know, if people see you and I, that's okay, because we can tell them about Jesus, but they need to see Jesus. And my question is, when people look at you, do they see Jesus in you? He needs to be seen in your message, not just, you know, yeah, I give the gospel out on bus. Yes, I teach in the Sunday school class. Yes, I teach verse. Not only in our message, but in the content of our message, but the tone. You know, our concern. Do people, you can go out and knock on doors and pass out tracts, and you can ask them, if you died today, do you know for sure you're going to heaven? Or do they see that there's an actual concern? Mr. Fred Edwards, I don't think you'd mind telling the story. He went to see Joel and Marvin's dad the other day. Knocked on the door, didn't think he was going to get very far. He said, but when I told him how much I cared for his sons, he said, I started crying. Their dad started crying. And he got to talk to him for an hour and a half. You see, do people see Jesus in us, or is it just a ministry? This is what I do on Saturdays. This is what I do on Sundays. Or is it what's in your heart? People need to see Jesus. Then, not only in our message, but in our mannerisms. Let me ask you this. Does your life reflect the Lord, or does it reflect the world? How close do you have to dress to the world? They're not seeing Jesus in us. They're seeing the world in us. Yeah, but I wear this and I wear that, and I'm technically in the rules. Who cares about being technically in the rules? Amen. Are you godly? Amen. Do you love God? Do you want to reflect the Lord? So many young ladies, they want to attract attention to themselves. Listen, if you've got to catch a guy by the way you dress, the guy you catch, you're going to wish you never caught. In your mannerisms, in your motives. Do you know, turn with me to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. What are your motives for serving the Lord? You know, Jesus was not a self-promoter. But isn't that the way so many people are? You look at the average, you know, preacher these days. What are they? Self-promoters. It's all about them. It's all about how they look, how they act. And, you know, they got to be dressed to the T. You know, and they got to have the, you know, sorry if you do that. And you put the little thing there and you got all the cufflinks. That's okay. You can do that. But if that's what it's all about to you, you are really missing something. You're really missing something. In Philippians chapter 2, verse number 5, it says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but did what? He made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men." If we're going to be Christ-like, we're going to make ourselves of no reputation. We're not going to try to be lifting ourselves up and try to make a name for ourselves. People want to be Dr. So-and-so, or, you know, they want to have their name on billboards. They want to be the keynote speaker everywhere they go. Listen, if that's why you're going in the ministry, this is not the right place to train. Because, it's, you know, we're not all about that, okay? We're not trying to promote ourselves. You know, I don't even like saying this. I have written a couple of books. And the reason why I don't like saying it, because it's no big deal. Anybody can write a book. I mean, that's proof. I wrote one, right? Anybody can write a book. But the point is this. If you want to sell books, you got to get your name out there. You got to be a self-promoter. You got to let everybody know how good your stuff is. You know what? I am not a very good self-promoter. I'm not a good salesman. And I don't want to be a self-promoter, because the Lord was not a self-promoter. He made himself of no reputation. And then he did what? He took upon himself a form of a servant. If you're in Ministry Essentials, or you have been in Ministry Essentials, you've known how much time we spent trying to stress the fact service, ministry, is not a title, it's not a position, it's just being a servant. It's finding some people to serve. And people want to see Jesus. Sirs, we would see Jesus. People need to see him. And the question is, do they see him in you? What are we here for? What's your goal in life? Is it to serve the Lord? Is it to find a people that you can go minister to? You know, I want to find the people that God wants me to minister to. It's been in different places at different times. Right now, sorry for you. It's me. It's you. But God has a people. He has a place for you to go, and you've got to be willing to help them. And there are people out there who need to see Jesus. There's other people out there who are religious, but they don't know Jesus. I'm going to continue here. Second cry is found in Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter number 16. So first, we would see Jesus. Second, come over and help us. That is the next cry. Come over and help us. Listen, if we're not reflecting Christ in our lives, we're not going to be very interested in the guy across the street or the guy on the other side of the world. In Acts chapter 16, beginning here in verse number 9, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had done what? Had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. He saw a vision. The vision was, come over into Macedonia and help us. Come over and help us. Come over and help us. We just saw a video presentation. What night was it? Was that Sunday night? Thursday night? Whatever night it was. Brother Rich, at the end, what did he say? Not these exact words, but basically, come over and do what? And help us. There's a lot to do. There's a lot of places to reach. So let's look at that idea of come over. Come over. You know, you got to leave your comfort zone if you're going to go somewhere. You got to leave your comfort zone. You know, I'm sorry, but some people are so worried, you're more worried about being fashionable. You have to have the right color. You have to have the right tie. You have to have the right this and the right that. And you're so worried about being in style. Who cares about fashion? Who cares about all this comfort? You go and do what God wants you to do. God might want you to go somewhere where it's blistering hot. Go. He might want you to go where it's freezing cold. Go. He might have you go where it's not comfortable. You say, I don't like snakes. I don't like snakes either. We had a lot of them. I don't like spiders. I don't like my watch. That is beautiful. And you know why? I'm not accountable. I did that on purpose. We have to come over, to go somewhere, we got to leave our comfort zone. We've got to leave our business. The disciples left their fishing nets, didn't they? They're just ordinary guys. Are you willing to leave your business? Yeah, but I can make money. I can do this. Dr. Patton was a missionary in Suriname. He's called Dr. Patton because he was a doctor, a medical doctor. He had his own practice. He was successful. He had his home. He had the American dream, right? And what did he do? God called me. I'm going. And he went down where it wasn't comfortable, where it wasn't convenient, and he served the Lord, and he did a lot of work down there and trained a lot of folks. Why? Because of the cry of the lost, because God called him. There is a cry of the lost, come over and help us. And then Paul saw this as the Lord had called us to preach the gospel unto them. There's no need to be called somewhere unless there's a need. Is there a need? Is there a need? Look, turn again. Look at that map. Is there a need? Are there not millions? Come over and help us. Come over and help us. But we don't want to leave Walmart. We don't want to leave air conditioning. We don't want to leave all the niceties of life. We got to leave our business. You know, you may have to leave your family and your friends. One of the hardest things was every time we go to the field, to go visit our folks, because we never knew if we'd see them again. And it was hard on them because they never knew if we would come back. You know, my mom has dementia. My wife's mother has dementia. We haven't spent a lot of time with them since we've been adults. Furlough, you zip in and out. We missed a lot. But you know what? It's okay. Because there was a need. There was a call that said, come over and help us. And we went over and we helped some. And there's some people right now who are in heaven that wouldn't have been otherwise. You may have to leave your country. It's okay. I look at James back there. He wants to go back to Zambia. He may want you to leave Kabwe. He may want you to go up to the DRC. Or down into Zimbabwe. Zimbabwe is a huge need down there. Same in the Democratic Republic of Congo. Tremendous needs. Some of those places, you know, American can't get in as a full-time missionary. But a national from another country can get in. We need to be willing to leave. Come over. And then what was the other part of that cry? The cry of the lost. Help us. Help us do what? Help us find salvation. They're sitting in darkness. You know all the verses. Help us have fellowship with God. You know, salvation is great, but enjoying that sweet fellowship with God is wonderful, isn't it? When Mrs. Derlich's husband was was dying there in hospice, my wife and I, we took her out one day to lunch, and we were having a good time there and talking, and she said, you know, I don't know what the unsaved people do. I don't know how people manage without the Lord. Now, that's a testimony for her, but what does that mean for everybody else who's not saved? So, well, there's a lot of people around here, and there are. But I'm sorry, quite frankly, a lot of people around here, they don't want anything to do with God. We need more churches. I know God wants more started. I know we can win more people. But there are places out there where people still want to take a track. And they'll listen to you. They'll sit down, and you can open up the Bible and talk to them for an hour, 2 hours, and they'll just listen. Help people have fellowship with God. You know, a lot of people don't even know how to pray. I took Peter out soul-winning with me from the Monzi Church. He took forever to get saved. He took forever to get baptized. He took forever to join the church. But every time he took a step, man, he took a step, and he was solid, rock solid. Peter's a very good man. He's got polio. He walks with a limp. He had polio when he was younger. Got one of the biggest smiles around. Peter. Did I introduce you to Peter? Good man. Good man. Took him out. I was witnessing to somebody, someone from the same church background that he had. So I turned to him and said, Peter, why don't you give him your testimony? You know, because I had just taught him how to give a testimony. He just kind of went totally off and said, you know what? I never knew how to pray. He said, he just chucked talking about salvation. He says, I never knew how to pray. Since I've been going to the Independent Baptist Church, he says, I learned how to pray. I know how to talk to God. And he's just going on and on. He didn't know how to talk to God. He had no fellowship with God, and salvation is great to him. Not only does his sins forgiven, but he's excited that he actually gets to talk to God now, and he gets answers to prayer. And his deaf father, who was very, very difficult to try to witness to, got saved about a year ago. And this year, his deaf father passed away. Praise the Lord for answers to prayer. We need to help people find fellowship. We need to help people find victory. People don't know how to have victory over sin. You know, the funny thing is, we do, and we don't do anything about it. You know how to have victory, and yet sometimes you'll still sneak around and go places you shouldn't go and look at things you shouldn't look at, and fill your eyes and your mind and your ears with things you shouldn't be listening to and looking at, and you're wondering, well, I don't know why. You know, one of these days I'll get right with God. We know how to have victory. Shame on us if we don't. And what about the rest of the world? God so loved the world. Can't we go and share what we've gotten? You know why we can't go and share what we've gotten? Because we don't have the victory ourselves. We don't want the victory. And we don't want the victory, so we don't want to give it to anybody else. Help us. Come over and help us. Can you hear the cry of the heathen? Come over and help us. We're dying. We don't know how to have victory over sin. Can you hear the women in so many developing nations? The husbands are out drunk, getting drunk all the time. The women are at home or in the fields doing all the work. The children just kind of grow up and fend for themselves, neglected. Teens, rampant immorality. Go find some, try to find someone who's pure. It's all they know. Help us find peace. You know, the Bible says, there is no peace, saith my God to the wicked. There's no peace. We can have peace. Isn't it nice to have peace? Isn't it nice to go into church and sing a song and, boy, it touches our heart? Isn't it nice when, man, we hear God do something? They don't have it. Come over and help us. John chapter 5 gives us the third cry. Verse number 7. We'll begin in verse number 6. Of course, this is the man at the pool of Bethesda. Verse number 6, when Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man, when the water is troubled, to put me in the pool. But while I'm coming, another steppeth down before me. Sir, I have no man. I have no man. The impotent man was completely helpless, totally dependent on others. There are people out there completely helpless. They can't fix their problems. They've tried. They've gone to others to try to fix their problems. They can't fix their problems. Only the Lord can fix their problems. They're totally dependent on someone else to deliver the answer. And we've got the answer. Turn with me to Romans chapter 10. I have no man is their cry. I have no man. I have no man. I have no man. And in Romans chapter 10, verse 13, we know, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then, verse 14, shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without what? A preacher. They can't hear. They can't believe because they have no preacher. They're without a preacher. I have no man. I have no man. I have nobody to tell me the truth. They could be saying, I have no man to start a church in my area. On our survey trip, we went in the year 2000 and went and visited many, many towns and areas in the southern province, and so many of them there were no churches. We took pictures, many pictures, hundreds of pictures. I've got hundreds of pictures that sometimes we'll still look at. I can see these faces, and there's still no Bible preaching church in those areas. In our first video presentation, I remember I put together the last picture's got a little girl with a smile and her brother standing right next to her. They're in the shanty compound of Mazabuka. I don't know their names. We'd stop here and there. We'd jump out, give some tracks and things like that in the different areas, took some pictures. But they're not little boys and girls anymore. When they were little boys and girls, would have been nice if they had a church to tell them about Jesus. They might not even be alive now. In the town of Mazabuka, when every time we went to town, we'd have to drive by the cemetery. And almost every time we drove by, there was a funeral. There was a burial. Almost every time we went to town, there was a burial. Sometimes two in different locations. People are dying. People, they may be dead. We were going to start a church in Mazabuka. And then the church in Cowboy needed us. We went up there, we prayed about it. And then still, we had even moved to Mazabuka. I had talked to people at the council about places to get land. There was another missionary on deputation who had raised part of his support to go and help us there in Mazabuka to have an orphanage. He dropped out, never made it to the mission field. Mazabuka is still untouched. I have no man. I have no man. No man to go to the uttermost. Right? Isn't that what we're supposed to be doing? Go to the uttermost, that outside area. People in villages. I've used this example before and it still burns in my mind. meeting people. They'd come to town from their villages, and we'd give them a tract and say, we need churches too. Yeah, well, I don't have time to get to you. Is that what you tell them? We need churches too. No man to teach families how to love. No man to help the fatherless and the widow. Isn't that pure religion? Isn't that? Do we not read that in the Bible? We talk about being religious. Are you religious? No, think it. Are you religious? James 1:27, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction. You know where you'll find them? You'll find a whole lot more of them on the mission field in a developing nation than you will in Chesterton. You'll find some widows, and we ought to visit the widows. But here, he's talking about the fatherless and widows. He's talking about the moms who are still young and have got young kids and need some help. In their affliction. That's pure religion. It's pure religion. Yeah, but I can't do that because, you know, I got my plans. I got my life. There's a lot of things I'd like to do. Well, why don't you say, Lord, if you want me to give up my plans and my life, I'll do it. Sarah remembers, and it's usually Christmas Eve, I think it was, the day before Christmas, we would go out to some of the widows who had children, and we'd give them a little gift. Some of the ladies from our church who their husbands passed away. Why? Who else is going to give them a little gift? So, well, that's social gospel. Pfft. I think that's called the love of Christ. Maybe we need to get a little bit more social with our gospel and reach our society. That's social. No man to reach the poor and destitute. I forgot to grab it in my office. I've got a section of the post. It's two pages, two full pages. It said, Makalulu, Africa's second largest compound. You say, what's a compound? When people are just packed and wedged into an area. Second largest, next to Soweto, which is, a lot of people heard of Soweto in South Africa. Makalulu is second largest. Do you know where it is? It's in Zambia. Do you know where in Zambia it is? It's in Kabwe. There's no church in there. No, we've reached a few people in there. We've had teams of soul winners go in there. You know what? They need a Bible club. They need a church. It's such abject poverty. A lot of the kids don't even live at home. They're living on the streets now. Parents don't care about them. Dads are drunk. They don't care about them. They're people. They're human beings. They're souls. And right now, Zambia is going through very hard economic times. You think you've got hard economic times? And we've seen some hard economic times when people are out digging for roots to eat roots. That was what they're going to eat. I'm not saying everybody does that. In the larger towns, people are more developed, but I'm saying there are still people out there like that. Makalulu is dirt poor. Kids on the streets. You know, some of you, you're more worried about your homesickness. We're worried about our homes, and these people don't even have a home to be sick over. Makes our problems look a little small. The heathen are saying, I have no man. Ezekiel chapter 22. The heathen are saying, I have no man. They're looking for a man. But they're not, the heathen's not the only one. They're not the only ones who are looking for a man. In Ezekiel 22, verse number 30, God's looking for a man. He said in verse 30, and I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and should and stand in the gap before me for the land that I should not destroy it, but I found none. Found none. I have no man. I have no man. God says, well, I'm looking for a man. Where are they? Will you be that man? Will you be that lady who'll go and reach some? And I'm not saying just exclusively across the globe, but I am emphasizing that today. If you're not concerned about people here, you're probably not going to be concerned about people there. The fourth cry, Jeremiah 8:20. The fourth cry is this. We'll see, it's the last four words of the verse. The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. We're not saved. We were out visiting the little town of Cheskasi. There's only about 1,000 people in that town or so, at least at that point. We're going through a little area, and one of the men that I was with says, Pastor, let's go and visit this home over here. There's been a sick man here. Let's go visit him. We went and we knocked. Actually, you don't knock. You say, Hodi? Hodini? And someone comes and he asked for the man, and he had just died earlier that day. I have no man. We're not saved. We're not saved. Phineas, he started coming to our church. If you walked from his house, it would be an hour to get to our church in Cheskasi. And so he lived outside of town. We went to visit him. We got to witness to him. He got saved. While we were witnessing to him, his wife had something on the stove. On the brazier. She was cooking some on the fire. And so she had to excuse herself. And we never got to give the gospel to her again because she got sick and went to the hospital and died. I'll never forget when I came to see Phineas. He's coming down the path. He heard the truck coming. And I said, how's your wife? And just a total blank look on his face, he said, Pastor, she's dead. We didn't reach her. We are not saved. How many villages in Africa? How many little towns in South America, Central America? Cambodia, Mongolia. We're not saved. Bow our heads and close our eyes. The lost are crying. They're crying out. We would see Jesus. Come over and help us. I have no man. We're not saved. Are you listening to the cries? Are you more tuned into the allurements of the world? Are you tuned into God, who might say, who will go for us? And like Isaiah, here am I, send me. And then God said, go. Will Will you be that man to start that church in the uttermost? What about Makalulu? Are we going to turn a deaf ear when people say we're not saved? Stand to our feet. Thank you, Lord, for your word, for your concern for the lost world. Lord, I don't know how you've spoken to hearts. Maybe there's some you just want to have more of a burden here for people in their ministries. There's some that perhaps you'd want them to go and leave their comfort zone and be that man that no one has. Lord, I pray you'd help us to be surrendered. Help us not to be so caught up with this world that we can't hear your voice. Pray for some good decisions, Lord, and we ask it in Jesus' name. As music begins to play, if you need to come and talk to the Lord about something.
Heavenly Father, thank you for your word, and I pray, God, we'd let these words ring in our ears, God. They're what we should be devoting our life to, Lord, and forgive us for letting other things of this world become more important in our hearts. Lord, help us to find the joy of sowing and reaping, and Lord, let that be our focus, let that be our goal, let that be our desire. Lord, there's souls at stake, and I pray, God, that you would help us to be busy in your harvest field. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You're dismissed.